welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. How many of you in this room at this moment are part of the Street Angels group? Look at that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about Street Angels, and then just go on a little bit from that. Some of you would have seen the video that's in the middle of that. This, maybe you could dim the lights a bit, Peter, so we could see it a little bit easier. And but Street Angels began really at the initiative, well, of the Lord, I think. I got called to this meeting at the vicarage, and there I met some representatives from the police and the council, and we were talking there with other ministers, and at one point I said to them, so you're talking about street pastors or street angels, as we later became, and I said, yeah, that's exactly it. And it sort of began from that. I'd never really heard of street pastors or street angels until 2 days before that meeting, when I've been talking to Brian on the phone. They were still living at Perth at that time, but they were moving down here. And he was involved in street pastors in Perth. And he told me all about it. So I sounded like I knew all about it, but really all I knew was what I'd found out on the telephone. But because I did sound like I knew about it, the police and the council were biting my hand off. And not long after that, just to truncate the whole story in a bit, Brian and I found ourselves in a meeting with the council and the police. And at the end of this meeting, we were in this bizarre situation of Brian having now moved to Scarborough, but only having lived here for 2 days. And the council and the police saying to Brian, I'm the chair of the Street Angels, but he's the Street Angels coordinator. And they're saying, Brian, will you run this initiative? And Brian's thinking, I haven't even unpacked yet. Hallelujah. But he said yes. And we began to sort of get together the vision for what Street Angels was going to be. And I suppose that's one of the things that underlines it there. We're here. Sorry, not we're here. If you need help, we're there for you. If you need help, we're there for you. Amen. Okay, so looking at Scarborough, it was interesting, wasn't it? Did you see the headline in the Scarborough Evening News? It was on the 23rd of November, a Monday, and it said, a new title, Best Town in Britain. Yes. Hallelujah. Scarborough is actually a fantastic town. It's a brilliant place to live. In one of the articles written further on, it wasn't written by the newspaper, it was written by the Academy of Urbanisation that gave the award. It said that Scarborough, the people, basically what it said, it's not word for word, but the people of Scarborough are together making the best of living in a town which is such a wonderful environment to be in. Because we have got the best of everything. We've got moors, we've got forests, we've got beaches, you know, but we've got great people. And one of the things Scarborough is, that's great in Scarborough, is it's a town with buzz. Okay, we need to acknowledge and give thanks to God for people like Nick Taylor, who leads Scarborough Renaissance. And they're the people sort of behind seeing things happen in our town. And it's that, you know, people come from all over the country, in fact, all over the world, to come on holiday here. And sometimes we're so used to it, we think, you what? It is actually a brilliant place for a holiday. People who come here are often people who are turning up. It's interesting, isn't it, that they're here and they're coming to the church here and they're enjoying their holiday here. And there's a whole mixture going on. And we want to see more and more people coming into this town, that the town might prosper. Yeah? But there's another side to Scarborough, and that's the nighttime scene. And there we go. Sorry about it disappearing slightly off the edge. It's obviously not quite set up right, but never mind. And we have a nighttime scene where it was identified there was trouble, or there was problems, excessive drinking, antisocial behaviour, violence. It even came to the attention of the Home Office in London. And so something needed to happen in our town to make it work. And this is where we get the idea of the church making a difference in our community. Okay? Now, the church is part of the community, but God calls us to stir ourselves and go in to the community and make a difference. Now, street angels isn't the only means by any means, but it is a powerful means. And one of the great things that's happened with it is that God has brought together people from all different congregations, because I really think there's only one church in our town, isn't there? Yeah, and God has brought together these different congregations. And one of the exciting things about this second group of people, I mean, when we commission them, when we pray for the people this morning, there's going to be an awful lot missing because some of them haven't been able to get away from the churches they go to this morning. So we'll be praying for a lot of people who are not here, if you know what I mean. But it's great that the church is making a stand together. And one of the things that happens is that people on the streets are seeing, well, actually, maybe the church does care. But we only care if we care. We only care if we actually do something. It's no good saying we care and we sit at home and watch Condemnation Street, as our speakers called it the other week. So, what's Street Angels about then? What's the what do we actually expect to achieve? That's a smiley man. Have you ever got to see that one? He hasn't got a beard there, so... anyway, now these points... I do apologise, they're going to go slightly off the screen because it doesn't seem to have quite clicked on right. But we're a safer community, or we want to see a safer community with people feeling safer. The word missing there is feeling, because there can be a perception where there actually isn't danger. And in the surveys that have been done since Street Angels found, one of the common things that comes out is it does enable people to feel safer, because actually our streets are very safe. And one of the, you know, and this is one of the effects that you can have of walking around in this blue uniform. It's just helping people to enjoy themselves and having a good night out. Now, we're there as well to help the vulnerable. Now, you get vulnerable if you have too much to drink. You can be vulnerable because of your age. There can be young people out very late who are then exposed to a greater deal of risk. You might be a young female who, for whatever reason, has got completely separated from your group. Actually, you might be a man who's got separated from the group you're with, and you're becoming vulnerable by the way you're behaving. In fact, actually, the group that's most commonly attacked is young men, not young women or any other age group. But, it's resurfaced. Hallelujah. That threw me off. Okay, anyway, help for the vulnerable. Help for those in difficulty, a similar sort of thing. You know, we literally do pick people out the gutter. We literally do help people out of the road. We literally do walk people home. I say literally because you sort of talk about these things, helping somebody get out the gutter as a sort of a metaphor, but we literally have helped people out of the gutter, where they're not only in danger of a very unhealthy position, there's also this thing called traffic in Scarborough. You know, I can remember we've stood round people redirecting the traffic because they're collapsed in the road, you know, and they're not always easy to see there. So it's this sort of thing that you can do by help. By being there, we have already, the stats show, there was a blip in the summer, but that was probably because we had so many visitors to Scarborough, the third most popular seaside town in Britain in the summer in terms of visitor numbers. Isn't that amazing? This town is blessed. Yeah. It's a blessed town. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're seeing reduced street crime in terms of violence, especially against different people. It's not that we're there to do the police job, but sometimes we're just there. And one of the key things you'll see if you're out on the streets at that time is sometimes where things start to get a little bit heated. Not violent, because we back off. There's groups. If things do erupt, there's the night marshals and the police. That's what they're there for. That's not our job. We're there. If somebody's getting a bit, you know, aggressive between one another, sometimes just by chatting to them, saying, are you having a good night out, or whatever, the heat just takes out of the situation. And we're also praying on the streets. And believe me, I believe it makes a big difference. There was one night when there was no police around. They were all called over to Pickering Way. So there's no police on the streets. And there were night marshals around. They weren't in the area when this happened, but they came pretty quickly when we got on our radios. A situation erupted outside Barracudas, where suddenly there was a lot of people, and it was almost like two sides squaring off against one another. And it looked like you were going to get a street brawl. And we're calling the police, but if there aren't any, there aren't any. There's a limited number. If they're all in Pickering and everywhere else, they aren't here. But the night marshals came. But what was very remarkable is suddenly there was a group of the street angels stood to one side and They prayed into the situation. There was other street angels that were just helping people that had got covered in blood. And there was other street angels talking and calming down a couple of the key people. And as those things happened, practical work and spiritual work happened together, the whole thing just stopped. It was remarkable. It just evaporated. Everybody working together. It was good. Hallelujah. So we also see reduced antisocial behavior, simply because we're on the streets. The language is colorful, but that's another matter. The other thing that occurs is effective use of the emergency services. We actually save the NHS thousands of pounds. It'd be nice and nice if they gave us a little tiny bit of it even, but but the NHS has saved thousands of pounds, because what happens is the emergency services can get caught. An ambulance can be called because someone is just a little bit worse for wear, when all they really need is a taxi home. You know, we can walk them up and down, give them some water, sober them up a little bit enough so that they can get in a taxi and they can get home safe. Usually with a friend to make sure they're really getting in safe. Usually with instructions of how to, when they go to bed, to make sure they're not on their back and lying on the side. All that kind of thing if they're that bad. But the ambulance isn't needed in that situation. Or it could be the police are called to a situation where, because the street angel's there, the hot air is just taken out of it and you don't need the police. Because every time you call out one of these services, especially the ambulance service, obviously it's costing a lot of money and there's a lot of time wasted. And if it's not that much of an emergency, they could be missing an actual emergency somewhere else. So this is one of the ways which effective use of the emergency services happens. Because also, it can be that we call them, because they are needed and they're needed quickly. And with things like the, we can radio the police with radios, or we phone 999 for the ambulance, because that's actually the quickest way for the ambulance, because you have to give all the details to the person on the other end of the phone of what's happening. So, you know, it's effective use of the emergency services, one of the things that we expect to achieve as street angels. And a big one as well is improved church community links. It gets us, the church, out there, talking and meeting people. And most of the people we meet at the nightclubs aren't people that go to church, and that's good. We're just making links. It's also helping us make links with other organisations in Scarborough that are involved in, well, I suppose, in making Scarborough a better place. And, you know, we've got to know a lot of people at the council and in the police and various other services like Sidewalk and the homeless places, the Rainbow Centre and everything else. And a lot of that's come through street angels. Right, some of you will have seen the next little video. We showed it at Faith Camp, or you might have seen it somewhere else. But a lot of you won't, so I thought it'd be good to show it this morning. It's a promotion video or an information video that we made about the street angels. It's been actually shown by the police all over the country now. Hallelujah. Here we go.
Street angels, if you need help, we're there for you.
You want me to say amazing? I should stop talking nonsense. People inspire me. So vital, so important, in fulfilling that bigger dream.
Cool. So, hallelujah. Right, we can put the lights back up again now, Peter. You can see me then. So I hope you enjoyed that. If you haven't known that much about street angels before, it gives you a good picture, a good outline of what's going on. I just want to look at one story here. I'm not going to speak for very long because I've already been speaking, but this is Jesus, and he's at the table of a Pharisee, and he's been invited, and they've had a big meal. So he's out there mixing with the people, if you like. But one of the people at the table with him says to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." Now, this poor guy, really, because he doesn't say anything wrong. What he's talking about is at the end of our lives, we're going to have a big feast in heaven. We're going to meet up with the Lord up there. But it's almost as if Jesus recognizes in this man, he thinks, yeah, but you're just too spiritual for your own good. It's not just about heaven, it's also about what we're doing here and now. It's about how our lives are affected now and how we're affecting the lives of others now. Because he suddenly comes up with a story to explain, actually, this is what you need to really think about at this point. And he says, Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." And he's sitting at a banquet, he's sitting at a meal, so immediately Jesus just starts to use the thing that's happening in front of him. He said, so you've all come as guests. And so this other guy, he was having this huge banquet. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. Okay? But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. I mean, what a great excuse. I've got a field. I'm going to go and watch the grass grow. I mean, I don't know how long the banquet was going to be, but I don't know how long he wanted to look at grass. It's just an excuse. It's just a sort of a, I've got to have a good reason. And this is a bit like the man that's sitting at the banquet with Jesus. Oh, blessed is everybody who's going to be in heaven. You know, it's a bit like the spiritual Christian guy that goes, oh, everyone's going to be blessed when we're in heaven, brother. But actually their life isn't making any difference now. And Jesus is saying, that's good. You have that vision of heaven. You have that vision of where you're going. But let's make a difference now. Now, what makes a difference? He begins to tell this story. So we've got one guy. He's staring at the grass. Okay, who's next along the line? Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Well, I suppose that's, you know, it's not a bad excuse. But hang on a minute. There's this huge banquet being organized. This, in the context of this story, Jesus isn't mucking about. He's saying the person holding this banquet is the Lord. It's God, okay? And you've got an invite. So you've got an invite to the biggest banquet going in the universe, and you want to go and test out some ox. I mean, it's a bit like you've been invited to the best party in the world, and you want to go and drive a Morris Minor. Now, driving a Morris Minor can be a very pleasurable activity. We used to have one. I liked it. When it broke down, you could fix it. It did that quite often, but you could fix it. I opened the bonnet, and I knew what everything in there did it. I opened the bonnet now, and it might as well be a rocket ship. You know, it's like, I know what that bit is, because it's got a picture of a windscreen wiper on it, so that must be the water. But there were no pictures in a Morris Minor. You know, it was hardcore engine. There was no little easy helps. But the thing was, there wasn't much in there. In fact, when you opened the bonnet, you sort of wondered, where's it gone? Has it been stolen while I wasn't looking? You know? I mean, they're such weak engines. It had one of those starting handles. Have you ever tried starting one? I tell you, it's absolute. I was all right starting it with a starting handle until I read that they break thumbs. And now, every time after that, it's like, okay. Oh, God. Because it always started on the starting handle. But, and it's the kickback from the engine. If you get it wrong and it smacks your finger, you can break your thumb. And the thought of breaking my thumb wasn't an attractive thing. So anyway, you're sort of there. And you're like, and then suddenly you're out far up. And you're trying to sort of keep your thumb. Well, I am. You'd probably be doing it far more sensibly. You're sort of trying to keep your thumb as far away from your hand as possible while you're doing it. It just happens to be attached. But anyway, and it gets started. But who wants to be started a Morris Minor and going for a drive in a Morris Minor when there's an awesome party, an awesome event, something incredible that you've been invited to? Well, this guy did. He did the equivalent, 5 oxen. They didn't have Morris Minors in Jesus' time. That might be the most intelligent thing you hear all morning. Anyway, still another said, now this one, you got a little bit of sympathy. I don't know about you, but well, I have. But this guy, still another said, I just got married. Now, when you've just got married, you tend to have one thing on your mind. So he says he can't come. But Jesus is contrasting. You know, being with your new wife is amazing and important. But hang on a minute. This is more important than grass growing. This is more important than Morris Minors. Actually, this party is so important. You need to come even though you just got married. Hey, bring the wife. So the servant came back and reported this to the master. Now remember, when Jesus told a story, the people in the story represent real people. That's why they're called parables. And the master is the master. It's God. So the servant comes back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house, which is the master, became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Now don't get hit up over the biblical language. In other words, get out there and help the vulnerable. Get out there and go and invite those who are vulnerable. Get out there and go and ask those who are in difficulty. Now the thing is, if we just go out on the streets just like this today, I'll just pop out the back door and say, come on, come to church, you're going to have a great time, there's a great party going on in heaven. Most people are going to go and watch the grass grow. All right? So don't worry about people who have just got married. Most people are going to find, as far as they're concerned, church is as interesting as watching grass growing. So they've seen the church. It's been around a long time, and people have different understandings of it. It's not like people understand. Okay? But they've got an understanding, and so somehow we've got to rescue the way we've promoted or the way people have seen church by genuinely being church. You see, the Pharisee, at the beginning of the story, or at least the guest at the Pharisee's party, if it's not actually the Pharisee, is saying, oh, Jesus, blessed are those who are going to be in heaven with you. And Jesus is fine about that, but he's saying, look, you're so spiritually minded, you're so sort of trying to impress me, scrap all that stuff. Look, if you really want to make a difference, get out there and go and invite people to the heavenly banquet. Stop sitting around in here having a great time when there's people out there that need help. And we've got to look at ways that we can help. And Street Angels is one of those ways. Now, we can be overwhelmed. The need is far greater than what we can do anything. Together, as the church is together in Scarborough, we can do a lot more. Praise God. That is one of the strengths of Street Angels. You've got other great initiatives, obviously, in town, like the Rainbow Centre, that are making a massive difference in our town and in the lives of people. And it's by showing the practical, perhaps people's eyes can be opened that there is something spiritual. And actually the spiritual is far more important than the practical. But unless people can see that this church thing can actually help them in their needs, they're not really going to be that interested. What else happens here? Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done. Well, I wish we could say that. Every single needy person, every single vulnerable person, every single person in difficulty has been invited. Well, but there is still room. Then the master told his servants, go out into the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited, that's the original ones, will get a taste of the banquet. There's an invitation for everybody to come to the banquet that's in heaven. There's an invitation. The great thing about this heavenly banquet, though, is because it's in heaven, Jesus later on also taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. And so if you imagine this huge banquet of people's needs being met, we can reach now up to that banquet and bring down the resources, bring down the spiritual resources and the practical resources, because God's very practical, and provide for those people now. I mean, we're praying in our building, aren't we? Yeah. We know God's given us a building. Why do we want a building? Well, primarily, we want a building to glorify the Lord. We want a place that we can meet together. But more importantly, we want a building that we can use to serve our community. Yeah. Okay, I want to see that parents' contact centre that's needed in our town, based in that church, a place where broken families can come. They won't meet. That's the whole point of a contact centre. But people who are estranged from their children can get a chance to meet with the children in a safe environment. And the other parent, who's usually in a situation of very frightened about their child getting back with the other parent, has at least got a secure and safe place to be with people that they can trust while that's going on. I want to see us being able to provide stuff for youth. We want to be able to do stuff for children in our town. We want that building to be a blessing to this town, don't we? Okay, we don't just want a church. I don't just want a spire. I don't just want a place that says, oh, look how great God is. I don't want a building that does what this guy says. Oh, well, blessed is the man who is part of this church. All right? Rather, I'd have a building that says, blessed is the person who lives in this town. How can we help? Yes. Yeah. Amen? Beyond what we can do, but not beyond what God can do. And as God builds us and grows this church, we can do far more as he equips and enables us to do so, yeah? Hallelujah. This is why I love Street Angels. This is why I go on about it such a lot, because I just see it's a way, and, you know, we can make a difference. And for most of the angels, they're out one night a month, which isn't really that much, except that it's the till 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning by the time you're home in bed, and suddenly the cost on a Sunday morning begins to fill a little bit more. But for that one night a month, this town is being changed. And the gospel is being opened up to people, and they get invited to the banquet. One of the taglines of Street Angels is taking the practical love of Christ to the streets. It's in all the letters that go out. It's in the handbook. It's in stuff when people approach us. And that's what it is. Yeah. It's saying Jesus isn't just something about a list of no's or a list of rules. Jesus isn't just about some people getting together in some building in some place in this town on a Sunday. Jesus is actually something that makes a difference in people's lives right now. Hallelujah. It's right now. And not only is it for right now, it has a heavenly purpose. The good news, you're invited to a heavenly banquet with the Lord. The good news, your invitation's got your name on it. The bad news, you want to watch grass grow. Just quickly, another parable to show how Jesus felt about this. Now, the tax collectors and the sinners, the Bible always lumps tax collectors and sinners together. Because nowadays we love tax collectors, so it doesn't make so much sense. You know, when you get that letter through the door from the tax office, you just think, oh, what a lovely bunch. Don't you? Yeah, I'm sure you do. Especially when it's got the rebate in it. Anyway. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Yes, he does. That's it. Yes, he does. This man, this so-called holy man of God, hangs out with all those who are miles away from God. He hangs out with the sinners. He hangs out with those people who've blown their lives. He hangs out with those people who've made all the mistakes. He hangs out with all those people that do all the stuff they're not supposed to do. What's he doing with them? That's what God does. Why does he invite them all to his banquet? Jesus told them this parable, and this is the last bit. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go over after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice in me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who think they don't need to repent. Hallelujah. That's what our God is like. That's what Jesus is like. That's what God is like. He goes out, he searches out those who are lost. And those people that think, "I don't need God, I've got it sussed," well, he'll ignore them until they realise they do. Actually, he doesn't even ignore them. He'll put things in their way to try and realise their need for the Lord. There is a banquet in heaven. Anyone going?
Yes.
Anyone want the Morris Minor instead? Anyone want to watch grass grow?
No.
You could put it on Twitter. Your latest tweet, "Today I'm watching grass grow." You could put it as your Facebook status and get 13 different comments from people saying, "Is it green? Has it grown yet?" Or you could just put as your Facebook status, "I'm going to an enormous party in heaven. I've been invited and I've said yes." Amen. And this morning we're going to pray for these street angels now. We're going to commission these street angels. We're going to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to come upon them, because these are the servants that the Master has sent into the lanes to invite the people. Now, they don't go out and meet somebody who's looking a bit worse for wear. He's looking a bit worse for wear. It's all that bass player. And say, "Do you want to get saved? Do you want to repent now?" That's not love. Love is to help them. And when they ask, "Why do you do this?" we can give an answer for the hope that we have. Because if we don't give an answer, how mean and how selfish are we? How mean are we to have fantastic invites? I just realised how bad that was. I didn't mean it. I was just looking for an invite. How mean are we to have an invite to heaven and not tell people? "Do you want one? It's got your name on it." This one hasn't. It just says Christmas begins. But there is an invitation for you. Oh, you've answered it already. You're going. I'll see you there, mate. It's going to be good. I tell you what we should do, though, because it's in heaven, right? Jesus said that we need to pray heaven down here on the earth. So if we've got this awesome place up there, I think we need to start bringing it down here, don't you?
Amen.
Shall we start doing something that makes a difference now?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. In the article in the Scarborough Evening News on Monday the 23rd of November, one of the things it said about Scarborough and the reason it was given the award was it says because there are people in Scarborough who are making a difference. You know, whether you're a believer in God or not, people that stand up, people that say, actually, I'm part of this town, I'm not letting it go to the dogs. Okay? While people just moan and complain and say our nation is going down the tubes, our nation goes down the tubes. When people say, actually, I'm not letting it do that, I'm going to be part of a group that's changing it. It won't. All it needs is the righteous or the men who care and the women who care to stand up and say, actually, we can make a difference. We can change it. And the great thing about Scarborough is there's a whole bunch of people, not just church people, who are saying, Scarborough's a good town. I'm not letting Scarborough be rubbished. I'm not going to let this town be run down. It's actually a great place to live. What can I do? How am I going to... It's apparently one of the reasons it got this award at the Academy of Urbanisation is there's so many community groups doing things in the community, decorating things, restoring things, doing the gardens, repairing benches, picking up litter. There's already so many things being done in this town by so many different groups, by a group of people saying, we can make a difference. Well, church, we can make a difference. We're going to be involved with our community. We're going to make that difference. Amen. As God shows us the different things we can do. It's not about trying to do everything. You just fall over and you're no use to anybody then. You've got to do what you can do. And we've put a lot of our resources into getting Street Angels running. But there's other things we want to do. Phil over there, sitting in that little purple chair, he's got a vision, along with Paul Smith, for taking the prayer for youth group, developing that, growing that, going out on the streets to where the youth are as a kind of youth angels group. Okay, so he's going to be, at some point, he'll be sharing his vision and he'll be saying, right, who wants to join me in this? Because this is when the church starts to make a difference. When people, he says, right, who can help me with this? And people say, yeah, I want to make a difference. I'll come and help you with that. I'll go down the skate park on that night. And we can get behind that initiative. Amen? Or wherever they happen to be. Prayer for Youth has done a great work, but it's almost like that's here now. Right, how can we build on that? How can we use this initiative to more effectively make a difference in the lives of youth in our town? And they've got a vision to go to them, to love them, to spend time with them. They actually like, a lot of them, just having an adult to talk to. Yeah, they wouldn't admit that. But they like having an adult to talk to. And as they do that, those who are interested, those who are inquired, they'll invite them along, I don't know, maybe to a sort of a youth alpha group and stuff like that. It's all part of what you want to do, isn't it? And put events on for them and things like that. Amen? So that'll be another thing that will be happening. Hallelujah? Right. It's just on 9:30 nearly. So we'll be wrapping up soon. We have a very important thing to do first. We're going to pray for these street angels, aren't we? Hallelujah. What I think we'll do is, because we've got street angels who have been doing it for since last February, and the new people, what we'll do is we'll have everybody come out the front, all the street angels, but if you're a new person, sort of come and stand roughly in the middle, because we're going to get the guys that have been going out for a while to pray for you. Okay, a commissioning, what we're going to do, for those of you that aren't used to this sort of thing, is somebody's going to pray for you. They're going to put their hands on you, because when you lay hands on somebody, it's a sign that you're imparting something from heaven to them. That's what we believe. What are we imparting? An anointing. What anointing are we imparting? The anointing that Jesus is talking about in the parable to go out on the streets and invite the vulnerable and those in difficulty. It's right here. We're doing what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right, street angels. Hallelujah. Come down the front. Hallelujah. And if you're... how many are there that are starting this... it's about 25, is it, Brian, that have been on the training course? 24. Hallelujah. So, from Rob onwards, and Jem, and Mark, and Andrea, and Marie,
yeah.
And Jem. Had a sudden crisis of confidence. And Jean and Owen. These are some of the new guys. Okay, if you didn't catch that, we got Rob, we got Dan. Don't know him, do you? Mark, Andrea, Marie, Jem, Jean, and Owen. Okay? Hallelujah. How you doing, David? It's one of our street angels you might not know so well. Hallelujah. I think everybody else you do know because they're Kingdom Faith people. Right. Okay. Let's all stand, shall we? You guys, if you go and grab, it can be one or two to a person, just lay your hands on people and just pray that God releases an anointing on them. Kate's going for Marie extra quick there. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. Just come and pray for different people. Just pray for that anointing to be released, to go and help those in difficulty and those who are vulnerable. Hey, Steve. Steve? Yes, Dan's not got anybody. No, it's all right. Don't worry. But there is an invitation for you.
Hey, look here. Next month I go for my eyes to be checked. I've got a cataract in my eyes.
Yeah, right. We should pray for you about that. If you want, we will. You don't have to believe. We'll believe for you. Father, we just release now this blessing upon these newly appointed street angels. And Father, those here this morning and those not here this morning, release this anointing to go into the streets, to go along the lanes, to go along the byways, Father, and find those who are vulnerable, find those who are in difficulty, and Father, to lift up the name of Jesus, to take that practical love of Jesus onto the streets, Father. We thank you now. And Father, we pray you just plant in each one a gift of love for each person that they meet. Father, we don't go in judgment. That's nothing to do with us. That's not our responsibility. We just go to serve. We just go to love. If you need help, we're there for you, says the tagline, Father. And we pray that by the grace of God, we'll live up to that in Jesus' name. We just release that now. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's give a round of applause for these guys.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.